You know, I was thinking after the last podcast about the very last words that I'd said. It's the, well, the commentators say on the end of the previous Sedra. You see, Nosso begins with talking about the burdens that the various members of the tribe of Levi carried. But the previous Sedra ends with the beginning of that idea. It talks about the B'nai Kohos, the children of Kohos, who carried the Oroin, the holiest of all the Kalim, the holiest of all the vessels. And they would carry the Oroin, the Ark of the Covenant, on their shoulders. No good to put it on a wagon, it's way too holy. In fact, even the story in Nach and Shmuel, we see that it will woe betide the person who tried to suggest that the Oroin was anything less than the holiest of holies. And in fact, we're told the Oroin was Noisias Noisov. That's what I ended off with yesterday, that actually the descendants of Kohos, although it looked as though they were carrying the Oroin actually carried them. And the truth is, it has to be that way, because if you try and work out the weight of the Oroin itself with all the gold that was in it, it must have been that way around. Hence, in Uzzah, in the aforementioned story in Shmuel, when he sees the Oroin being returned by the Pelishtim, by the Philistines, and it's on a wagon, because the Philistines don't know any better. They're Philistines, after all. He sees the wagon sort of stumble a little bit, and he puts his hand out to try and steady the Oroin, and he's struck dead because of a certain lack of emunah betochen. Now, it requires a whole extra explanation. David HaMelech himself was astonished and saddened by the event. Perhaps another time we'll discuss exactly what's going on over there. But what you do see is that Oroin carried those who carried it. And it occurred to me as I thought about this more and more, this is the most incredible idea. You've got the Levites, the Levium, their involvement in the Mishkan, carrying the Mishkan. And we, a number of times in recent weeks, actually spoke about a motif which is really related to that. We spoke about the words Bilvovi Mishkan Evne. I build a Mishkan, a tabernacle, a temple inside of my heart, for ostensibly for Hashem's glory. And I bring myself, so to speak, on the altar. I sacrifice myself. Sacrifice is a bad word, wrong word. I bring myself, I connect myself to Hashem. That is a Mishkan, again being carried, but it's not without, it's within. This is a Mishkan being carried in the heart. The amazing thing is that anybody who does feel a surge of positivity, a surge of connection with a person, does not feel weighed down. Just the opposite. There's a spring in their step. When somebody's had a positive experience, they feel lighter. They feel as though that thing which they're carrying inside them has actually buoyed them. And I found it interesting that when it talks about donating to the Mishkan itself, it talks about Asher Nesoi Liboy, which is talking about whoever's heart wanted to donate, whoever's heart sort of was lifted by the idea. But actually, you realize that through the experience, through the giving, you are lifted. Now, you might call that a feel-good factor, but I think there's something very deep here. I've discussed this with many people over the years. It's very, very rare that you do a good deed for another person and you actually feel bad because of it. No, you feel good. Yeah, it can happen occasionally. You can regret something, or you see that somebody was tricking you and you feel bad about it. But essentially, you feel good. And when I thought about that a bit more, I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, wow, there's an idea that for years I had sort of heard things about and heard some beautiful ideas, but I was still struggling with one element of it until it struck me the following idea. Sechar mitzvah mitzvah. We're told the reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. And you know what the back of my mind, and possibly your minds, when if you've heard that idea before, is like, really? Doesn't sound like a little bit of a cop-out? Like telling the child, if you help empty the dishwasher today, your reward will be that you'll be allowed to empty the dishwasher tomorrow. Not sure how keen that child will be to do that unless they've really got a penchant for emptying dishwashers. So I thought it was a bit of a cop-out, and I thought, it's missing something. But suddenly it struck me. Incredible. The oroin is noisiest noisof. It carries those who carry it. Somebody who has a positive experience, a positive spiritual experience, that lifts them. So the schar of a mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah, is another mitzvah. Because everybody wants to be lifted. Everybody wants to feel positive. And if you know what it means to feel positive after an experience, you want that experience again. It's kind of, I guess, in the flip side to what I would view as the dark side of taking substances which a person could be addicted to. That person needs more to get that original thrill, to try and get that kick, to try and get that first hit that they had, and the elusive thing which may never get back unless they get something stronger and stronger. But when it comes to ruchnius, to spirituality, actually all of that happens without any negative side effects. You want to buy into it. You want to have more of that. And therefore, automatically, noisius noisof. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing in my mind when I thought that. And then something else struck me. The beautiful words of Rav Nachman of Breslov. He was a genius of a man. We could wax lyrical about him for days, months, etc. I'm not a Breslov chassid, but he was something special. And he says, "B'inyan asimcha." Some of you may know there's a song that's been put to these words. Alpi Moshal, talking about simcha. There's a moshal. There's a parable. Shelifamim shepereyotam smeich maraktim. You can have people who are being happy. They're dancing together. And suddenly they snatch one guy, sort of like on the outskirts. He's either in the outer circle or not even, just standing outside the circle. Ishachem avachutz. And as it happens, that guy they snatched into the inner circle happens to be feeling a bit down. Imagine they drag him in, they force him to dance. So you might think, oh, that's so mean, that's so horrible. But actually, he's going to end up being happy like them. Happy clap along. Absolutely. And the actual sadness gets pushed to the side. Now, yes, there's endorphins, there's adrenaline. All of that is true from a scientific point of view. But you know what? You might be familiar with the words with the works of Daniel Kahneman. He's a Nobel Prize winner, Kahneman and Tversky, eminent experts in sort of understanding the human mind. And Kahneman talks about the concept of smiling. The scientists conducted an experiment where they asked a series of questions to people, looking for more positive responses. To group A, they just asked the question. To group B, they made them answer the question whilst clenching a pencil between their teeth, which forces them to smile. It was incredible how the degree of positivity went up just because they had a biological smile, even if they weren't feeling inside so happy. But what happens is that affected the whole feeling. Try smiling in the mirror for 5 minutes. Try it. Please don't take my word. Try it. Try it again and try again, and suddenly you'll feel more positive. And you know what? Now try to do it to somebody else, because a smile is infectious. And if you think that it's just a trick, it's not a trick, because there's a feel-good factor, and it flies to another person. That mocha that the person is dragged into, Hashem makes a circle in the end for all the tzaddikim, and Hashem's in the middle. Do you know why? Because once you're in the circle, we're all equidistant, because we all have an equal connection.